Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee. I'm joined by Quizmaster Mark.
Quizmaster Mark.
Oh, hello. Quizmaster Mark. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing real good. Fantastic. Very busy week at trivia.
Yeah.
Anything notable happening yours this week?
Oh, you know, notable.
I think we have our last week with our friend Elise with full freedom from her job. She just moved back to town. Listeners might remember her from episode 48 in the Sarks. So she came to two of my trivias this week. Was she at yours on Wednesday?
She wasn't. She wanted to go, but she was at another trivia before mine. She was going to try and run to my trivia afterward. Yeah. But she had like, I think 4 or 5 days in a row straight of trivia. She was, teaming up with Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Just, she's a go-getter.
Right.
She's a trivia fiend.
And for those of you listening that don't live in Southwest Florida, be jealous of how many trivias we got. Like, people can't even keep up with going to all the trivias that we got going around here. I'm curious though. I mean, if you're listening, like, write us an email with your trivia options in your town. Like, is it one company that is dominating the area, or maybe even just one venue? Like, nobody even offers other trivia. I'm just curious, like, what's the trivia like in your town? Please send us an email, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com.
We are definitely in a period now where we're flush with trivia.
Mm-hmm. And it's summertime. We live in a city where usually there's season in the winter, and that's when all the snowbirds come down from up north. So right now, we shouldn't be busy, but we are both very busy with trivia, and the local economy seems to be cooking at a good pace. So I feel good about it. But
I, too, feel good about it.
So Elise made it to two of my trivias at the Palace and at number 3. And I just want to read you, you know how I do the category requests. So if you come, you can request categories for the next week's trivia at the location. These were her her categories for both nights.
Is dogs one of them?
No.
Listen, no.
Check it out. Bright Eyes.
Okay.
Connor Oberst.
Mm-hmm.
Late 90s, early 2000s emo from Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
The Bob Dylan of our time. Or a question about Saddle Creek Records.
Okay.
These are all Bright Eyes related.
Yeah. Quiz no, items. No Desperacitos.
No, I guess she's saving that one for.
Is it Desperacitos or Despacitos?
Despacitos. No, that's a Bieber song, right? Or no, was that Bieber? That was somebody else, right?
What?
Despacito?
I have no idea.
The big summer hit. I avoided that song when it was on. Like, I actually don't think I've even heard it. I mean, maybe I sang it right and I must have heard it. Or maybe I didn't. I don't know.
The band was Desperacitos.
Desperacitos. Yes. Yeah.
Connor Oberst.
Mm-hmm.
The Bob Dylan of our time.
Yeah.
It's very intense.
Well, I mean, Bob Dylan is still alive.
Yeah, but he's definitely not doing what he used to do.
He's not of our time. He's of a past time. Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's older. Everybody mm-hmm. has seen that's gone to see him lately has said that he's awful. It's kind of like going, I'm guessing it's kind of the equivalent of what it's like going to see,
And I did see Connor Oberst. He was very good. So,
yeah, well, I mean, Connor Oberst is a younger, in his prime, but I know when I went to go see, Brian Wilson
mm-hmm.
and the Beach Boys, he was basically just kind of like propped up on stage using like duct tape.
I think I saw some late night performances where they had him on the bench at a piano, but he wasn't playing the piano. He was just sitting there and singing.
That's pretty much exactly what's going on. Yeah. And like, I think he sang a little bit of a song or whatever.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was other people singing or whatever. They had like Al Jardine's son singing a bunch of stuff, and maybe Al Jardine was there or whatever. But
do you remember when Bob Dylan got arrested a few years back?
I don't think so.
You don't remember that?
No.
He got locked out of his house. And he was trying to break in through the window to his own house. And the police officer did not recognize him.
I picture him so hobbled, trying to stand on top of an air conditioning unit.
How embarrassing.
Just get in.
Hey, this is my house. I'm trying to get inside.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Trying to get inside my house.
I do remember him getting busted for plagiarism.
Oh, yeah?
And that's what I was
saying. I don't remember this.
Yeah, he got busted using a bunch of lines from a book. I think it was like a Buddhist book or something.
Hmm.
And there were like some very, 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 this may have been like 10 years ago.
Oh,
The internet was around.
Ooh, that's a bold move to plagiarize in the era of the internet.
And that's why I'm saying that his time is done. He did his thing. But as a matter of fact, you were asking about my trivia. I almost didn't run trivia Wednesday because Dave Berman from Silver Jews passed away.
Yeah.
Who was a really, really big inspiration, one of my favorite bands. And I would say, if anything, he was more, you know, close to our, to the Bob Dylan of our time, as far as like poetry put to music and stuff like that. So I was actually supposed to go next Thursday to see him a week from yesterday to North Carolina. I was going to fly to North Carolina to see him. So,
do you have any recommendations for our listeners that may not be familiar with his over?
Yeah, there is an album called American Water, which is just a great album from start to finish, and features Stephen Malkmus from Pavement on a bunch of this stuff. So if you're a Pavement fan, or if you're into kind of like general like indie stuff, the band I'm in was largely based off of trying, you know, wanting to sound a bit like Silver Jews. So that album and The Natural Bridge, Lung, Daisy Kaplan and his wife Rochelle are both huge, huge fans of theirs too. They did an episode with us a while ago. They both messaged me, and you know, it definitely hit, you know, it definitely hit a huge nerve with a lot of people into indie music and stuff, because, you know, he's just one of the best to have done it. He's got a, he's a lot like Bob Dylan in that a lot of people hate his voice, but lyrically, he just writes some of the best lines ever. And he's kind of a poet first. I love his voice, but I know a lot of people can't stand it. So,
yeah, they really, his songs really cut you down, you know, like they, it's one right after the other. You know, when you think, if you're into very emotional music, I would definitely recommend that. Yeah. And we'll put a link to those albums in the show notes so you can check those out.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Dave Berman.
Yeah. But the show must go on. My girlfriend was like, you know, your friends are going to be there. It was going to be Adam and Charity's last day in town. I had messaged Adam just to see if he could run it in case I couldn't make it. But, you know, she was right. I needed to be around people. So it was, it may not have been the most cheery trivia on the face of the planet. Like a lot of people, a couple of people reached out to me, like pulled me aside. And were like, you seem like off tonight. Is everything okay? I was like, yeah, you know, kind of like getting through it. But,
you know. When I got news that my dad died, I hosted trivia that night too. And it was the same kind of thing. Like I just, I knew that I wasn't ready to talk about it with anybody, but I knew that being around people would be good. You know, and it was probably a more somber night than typical because, you know, you're a little distracted naturally, you know, with something like that.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely I'm glad that you decided to go through and sorry I couldn't make it out.
Yeah. You got your trivia. I mean, I understand. It's kind of like the Weird Al effect. We talked about Weird Al's parents dying. I think we talked a while ago about it and how he went and did a concert and just said, you know, I know that my concerts have been, you know, a place that other people have gone to, and my music has helped other people. So maybe it'll do the same for me. So, you know, it's good to get out there and do something. You don't want to sit there and dwell on it. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look at our weekly wrap up and
let's wrap
up. Give some shout outs to our teams that, that won. So first off, on Monday at the Palace, Team Moist left it all on the table. They were not there that night, even though they had an undefeated streak.
Damn.
They left it out for a team called I'm Not Your Father, But Your Sister Calls Me Daddy.
Ooh.
To pick it up with 116 points, our only triple-digit winning score of the week, beating out eight other teams.
Week.
Yeah. They took home a $25 gift card at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at the Palace. So there's some collaboration on the prizes going on at those venues now. And also, that's that name, I'm Not Your Father, But Your Sister Calls Me Daddy. That is a bold flag for my future brother-in-law, my fiancé's brother, to play under. but they entered our top 10 high score, our top 10 highest winning scores list. I think they're like the number 6 score they set that night. And that's just what a team of 7 is capable of. Like, they had a full team.
And makes you wonder what Team Moist would have done.
Right. What would they have done?
Would they have knocked it out of the park?
We'll never know. Tuesday at Gathered, the Tarpon Fat Cats were the winners that evening with 71 points. Then on Wednesday, last week's biggest learners were this week's biggest winners. The Four Horsemen got 92 points, and they actually beat out 9 other teams that night. Far and away, House Snow almost had them. They almost caught up. Both of those teams got the final question, wager question, right. but Four Horsemen was just able to eke it out a little bit.
It's a beautiful thing when a couple teams break away from the pack and are just running neck to neck. And
now we have
every
a race.
Round, it's like 20-20-20, 40-40-40. You know, it's like, oh man, like you
game
know.
Recognized game.
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed, they do.
And then on Thursday, Moyston Churchill took the victory with 73 points, picking up a gift card to the Palace Pub and Wine Bar for their overall victory, narrowing the gap between themselves and the Squeaky Chairs for our most winningest team title. The Squeaky Chairs, 20 wins to their name. Team Moist now has 18. Mark, how did your teams do on Wednesday at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia?
Good. The first round was won by a team called My Couch Pulls Out, But We Don't, which is always unfortunate. I hate that team name more than anything else in the world.
It's a pretty basic name. We've talked about that before.
Yes, you know? It's just one of those. It's way too. Just Google team name, and that's the first thing that pops up. But it always gets a laugh, so good for them. The second round was won by Big Trouble in Little Gina. Jamie and Fletcher's and Kristen and Adam and Charity were there before they took off back to China. They left yesterday.
Ni hao. I don't know what the goodbye is, though. We should ask them what goodbye was.
Yeah.
Because it's not ni hao.
No.
We'll have to tell them ni hao next time we see them.
Maybe it is one of those places where ni hao means hello and goodbye, like aloha.
I can only hope. I can only hope.
But the winner of the last round and the one to pull it out is that a Pringles can or are you happy to see me? Beat out Big Trouble in Little Gina by 1 point, 80 points. So a very, very, very close one. Again, another game, another night where Jamie's team just loses the last round.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
Get your head in the game, son.
It's been a tough one. Well, it's not just him now. You know, they got the whole team. Got the whole team there. But they've just been having bad luck with the last round for whatever reason.
Mm. No help from their friend Mark, clearly.
No. Gotta go hard on them.
If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia Live in the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. I heard you. Tonight, Monday, August 12th at 7 p.m., we're at Palace Pub and Wine Bar located in Cape Coral, Florida. The categories include The Golden Girls, My So-Called Life, Retro Air Jordans, Engineering, Australian Football, singer-songwriter Amy Mann, Disney, and more. The final question category that night will be 80s and 90s music, which was selected by two teams that tied for our last place spot, the biggest learners, those being the Palace Moms and Wine Witches. I like that Ryan and Naomi's moms team up for trivia now. That's cool.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so shout out to them, and come join us on Monday night at Palace. On Tuesday, August 13th, we'll be back at Gather in Cape Coral for trivia. That one, starting at 7 p.m., we'll be asking questions about dogs, video games, Broadway, food and cooking, cars, sports, the music and movies of the 1980s, and more. The final wager question that night will be the U.S. Civil War, which was selected by the biggest learners at that venue, Tarpon Charlie's. That is their name. On Wednesday, August 14th, we'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company at 7 p.m. The categories for the quiz that night will include beer, ocean life, Clint Eastwood, 90s hip-hop, Nickelodeon, grunge music, WCW, World Championship Wrestling, Married with Children, Dragon Ball Z, and more. That's going to be a fun 90s-rific night, it sounds like.
Sounds like it.
The final no-nonsense wager question will be beta blockers, the medication.
Okay.
That's what they said they wanted asked the about. Fuck? So their team name was Trying, and I doubt it. I doubt they were. But we will be joined that evening by the Meat Cottage, who have brought their meatballs back with the mushroom. I'm sorry. We will be joined that night by the Meat Cottage, who have brought their meatballs with mushroom gravy back on the menu and are offering a green pepper schnitzel as well as a quiche and waffle ice cream, among other menu options.
Waffle ice cream?
Yeah. Well, it's ice cream on a waffle. Like, instead of a cone, it's like a waffle chip.
Okay.
I don't know why I wrote waffle ice cream.
Neither do I, yeah. But that sounds good too.
I got up early this morning to get started on this. I might have not had my coffee at that point. After that, on Wednesday night, head on over to Nice Guys Pizza and check out trivia there, hosted by my man Mark Davis sitting across from me right now.
Hi.
Which starts at 9 p.m. in the Cape. Three rounds of trivia coming your way. And then Thursday, August 15th, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar at 7:30 p.m. that evening. The Meat Cottage will join us there as well. Categories for the Number 3 quiz include Bright Eyes, there you go, Elise, South Park, Classic Rock, NBA, NFL, the Blue Angel Air Show, Geography, College Mascots, and Kegel Exercises for Men, and more. The final category that evening will be U.S. history, selected by the team going by T-Buck City. Also, join us Saturday, August 24th, for our next fully-themed trivia event, Quizguardium Triviosa, Harry Potter trivia presented by No Nonsense Trivia. Test your knowledge of trivia about the wizarding world, including notable witches and wizards from the Potterverse, magical creatures, Hogwarts School, Quidditch, the books, the movies, the Potter fandom in general. Please join us August 24th at 6 p.m. at No. 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida, for Quizguardium Triviosa. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsense.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us, won't you? Well, I feel lightheaded.
Yeah. I could have gone forever. I was waiting. I knew it was coming.
Maybe next episode. Let's just go till we can't on that.
Also, I'll announce real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to start doing one themed night a month at Nice Guys.
Nice.
Guys.
Pizza. Theme night trivia. Cool.
Now, I hate theme night as a general rule weekly.
I feel like you secretly like hate trivia, but you love it at the same time.
I do love trivia.
Okay.
I do love trivia, but I love trivia in its purest form.
General knowledge.
Which is general knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a bonus, as an extra thing, a themed night. But we're looking into doing some general themes or some themes that aren't usually done. There's a lot of like geek heavy, geek centric.
Right.
But think about doing some themes that are like cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Music.
Yeah.
You know, like a little less specific.
Yeah.
Animals, maybe something like that. So we're going to look into it. Greg and I talked a little bit about it.
So will those be on Wednesday nights?
No, those will be either a Tuesday or a Thursday. So that's what I'm saying. It'll be in addition to the weekly, it'll be a Tuesday or a Thursday night somewhere where we're going to announce it a little bit beforehand.
That's good. I'm in Cape Coral both of those nights.
Perfect.
So please do it later.
And we'll see. It'll be same time, I think, 9 to 10:30.
Same trivia time.
Same
trivia channel.
Place.
it was Place and then Channel, right?
Place Channel.
Yeah, that's the Ultimate Warrior who was on WCW briefly, I think.
Was he?
He was definitely in the WWF.
He
might have
been, he was WWF for the time that I knew him.
But. And then I feel like they made Sting rip him off. Before Sting was the Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Sting. Never had an identity of his own.
So left behind. Does anybody even know him anymore?
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get started finally with some trivia in round number one. Mark, first, I have a biology question for you.
Just getting right into it, right into the meat.
In biology, when a dog or cat loses its fur, it's known as shedding. What is the term for when a dragonfly or another arthropod sheds its exoskeleton?
I don't know. There's one word that's immediately coming to mind. It's molting. And I can't remember if that has something to do with when they're younger, larvae, or if it's the term used for when they're older. But I think I'm going to go with molting.
That's right. It is molting. Yeah. Now, I don't want to say that's a softball or anything, but I think there's room to be trapped there. Go molting is don't birds molt? That's a bird thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe divert. So a little tricky, That's that was a kickoff question at one of my trivias this week.
All right, here's a geography question for you.
Okay,
but I have a feeling you're going to get it.
All right,
what is the only nation that shares a land border with Portugal?
I do know this. I hope Spain.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Friendly so far. Mm-hmm.
I feel like when we, just as a side note, I feel like when we started this podcast, I would not have gotten that right. But since we've started, I've looked at the map of Europe a couple more times. And I felt pretty secure in that.
I want to, I just, This is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. I just bought a new liner for my shower.
Okay.
Like, you know, I have the...
Yeah.
Do you have two or one?
Two.
You have two. You yeah. have the liner, then mm-hmm. you have the curtain.
Right.
So I had a curtain mm-hmm. that was the world.
Yeah.
That oh, had very nice. All the different countries and stuff.
Great.
So that way when you're taking a shit,
yeah.
you can look at it and kind of be like, oh, there's Uzbekistan.
That is okay. a fantastic fucking trivia tip right there. Get yourself a world map.
You can probably get curtain. One for like $10 on yep. Amazon.
Now, in our master bath, we actually have a glass sliding door, but maybe I'll get one of those anyway and just hang it up. Just so I can take advantage of that idea.
Just in the middle of the night, laying awake,
yep.
staring at the countries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Natural Born Killers was based on a screenplay written by what famous director / actor?
Based on a screenplay by what? Did you say director / actor?
Yes.
It was based on a screenplay? It wasn't, I mean, the movie was, did it use, are you saying it didn't use the screenplay? It was based on another screenplay? Like they took
the screenplay was rewritten.
Oh, okay.
Got heavily rewritten.
Director / actor. It's an interesting order that you put there. When I think of director / actors, I think of like Sofia Coppola, but I don't think that's hers. Now, Natural Born Killers. I want to say it was an Oliver Stone movie.
Was it an Oliver Stone joint?
I think so. But for some reason, I have this like inkling suspicion that it was based on a Quentin Tarantino script, because that's right around the time that Tarantino was writing more than he was directing. I think that came out maybe after Reservoir Dogs, or concurrently with Reservoir Dogs, around the same time as Four Rooms with Tim Roth. And what else came out around that time? True Romance. He was writing Ooh. All this stuff. So Quentin Tarantino is my answer.
That's correct.
Nice. It was my turn, correct. By the way. But I'll take oh, two in it? A row. I'll okay. take two in a row. It's all okay. good. I'm feeling good. For some reason, when we were we had breakfast before we started recording today, and on the drive back, I was like, I'm going to get zero right today. I just do not feel
so far inclined. So good, baby.
Hopefully, I didn't just jinx it. I have a somebody requested politics as a category, but I actually wrote a country music question, so I'm going to throw that one to you. To which country singer did Hillary Clinton apologize after denying that she was a quote? A little woman standing by her man, like blank, when asked about her husband's affair with Jennifer Flowers in a 1992 interview.
I'm in a little bit of trouble here.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because I have to remember who did Stand By Your Man.
Okay. So some people didn't even get that hint from the question. They were like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
So you've got a sus lead.
It's either Loretta Lynn or Patsy Cline. Seth is screaming. I think it's... Stand by your man. Bow,
bow. That's the one.
I know it.
And Hillary Clinton just like, I'm not like some schmuck like this country singer.
I'm going to go with Patsy Cline.
No, it's not Patsy Cline.
Fucking Loretta Lynn. God damn
it. No, it's not.
No.
Nope. Any other guesses?
Is it a woman?
Mm-hmm. The song was co-written by a man, but the woman is credited with the big hit performance. And, the song was written in like 15 minutes too.
Holy shit. How did I blow this?
Mm-hmm. Time to go back to Cocaine and Rhinestones, my friend.
Yeah. Who is it?
You don't want to take another guess?
No.
Tammy Wynette.
Mm-hmm. Tammy Wynette.
Some teams wrote down Dolly Parton, which she might've covered it at some point. She covers everything.
You yeah.
know? But Tammy Wynette is the one that people know. And that's who Hillary Clinton mentioned when she said that in her interview.
Huh?
So,
do you want to give me another one? Do you want to get me back to back?
Sure. In an effort to hedge against steel rationing in 1941, which automobile company made a prototype car out of soybeans, wheat, and corn that ran on hemp oil? So all of the steel was going towards the war effort. Mm-hmm. So car companies, you know, weren't allowed to make as many cars, or they couldn't, you know, based on regulation. Is this
an American car company? Or do you not say?
I didn't say.
So it could be Germany just as much as it could be America.
Mm-hmm.
1941.
Yes. And I will add there's some doubt publicly because a lot of the records are no longer around. So there's belief that they might have been the car actually might have been made out of like tar. But the claim is that it was a prototype car, and there are some pictures of it, and there was a promotional film made as well, made out of soybeans, wheat, and corn, and it ran on hemp oil.
Well, I mean, fuck. I'm really inclined to go with Volkswagen, German company. 41, I think things were maybe starting to not look as good for Germany. But it could also definitely be an American company. I don't know if, like, the thing is I know that we did a lot of stuff here. Part of me wants to go with an American company, but there's this other part of me pulling me toward Volkswagen. Because I know how nutty Hitler was. I'm going to go with Volkswagen.
Well, I think you should have gone with an American company because I guess if you think about it, wheat, corn, soybeans, like does Germany have access to that?
I have no idea.
In World War II? They don't.
No.
They don't. But the person responsible for this decision was quoted as saying, we will grow automobiles from the soil.
That's dumb.
And that was that is a quote attributed to Henry Ford. Mm. The Ford Motor Company. So you were so close.
Yeah.
And you sussed away.
I should have stuck with me knowing that America did so much stuff to put toward the war effort. But
Yep. And there was in the promotional film, they actually had Henry Ford like take a axe to the to the trunk lid of the car. Like, it's safe. And then it turned out, like, that wasn't the prototype car, and the video was actually his personal car. And they were like, well, it's made out of the same material. Mm. So it's like, Ford's driving around a plastic car? Sure.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. And the mayor of Flint's going to drink the water.
Was that your second question in a row for me?
That was two in a row, but three overall. So you got one more coming my way.
So now it's me. Mm-hmm. The city of Newcastle. Mm-hmm. The fireworks capital of America is located in what state?
Newcastle. Well, I don't know for certain, but one answer came immediately to mind for some reason. So maybe I'm just gonna go with that. Is it West Virginia?
No.
It's not West Virginia? Newcastle, West Virginia?
It is not.
That sounded so correct in my head.
It does. I hate when something sounds good.
Yep.
The correct answer is Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Mountain Mama. Wait,
before you said Pennsylvania, I feel like my brainwaves read yours, and I was like, it's fucking Pennsylvania. I don't know why. Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Maybe that's why. Maybe West Virginia and Pennsylvania have the same syllabic format. And I just got my neurons crossed.
Yeah, that could be it. Probably not.
Hey, two out of three ain't bad.
It's known also as the hot dog capital of the world.
Hey, I like that.
So you can imagine that July is a fucking amazing time there. Its chili dogs are the product of Greek immigrants who came to Newcastle in the early 20th century and established restaurants along with their homes.
Hmm.
And they have two big fireworks companies there. So,
yeah, I was actually in Pennsylvania for the 4th of July, out in the middle of nowhere once, and it was fucking awesome. Like, the people that I was staying with had these amazing fireworks on hand that were like what we would see here, you know, that's put on by the city, but it was, you know, there's no neighbors for like 25 miles.
Jeez.
You know, it was cool. But anyway. That does it for round number one.
Let's take a break and come back for round number two.
Before we get started with round two, let's do a miscorrection.
Miscorrection. Miscorrection is the grandfather of all many things we do.
Yeah, and it upsets me that it's been so long since we've done it. I guess we've just been too good. Gone are the days where we get a 2-star review because we quote unquote have a missed correction segment.
Right.
You know, we're just on top of our game, but
it's too good.
Not that good.
Not that good.
I have to self miscorrect here. This wasn't on the podcast, but at a live event, I wrote a question out of my head and assumed it was correct. Kyle wrote it and then said, "What's the answer?" And I said, "This is the answer." And she said, "Yep, that's right." And neither of us looked it up. And then I go out and I start reading the answers and I read out the answer to this. The question is, between what two planets is the asteroid belt located? Do you know? We might have asked this on the podcast before.
I think I did.
Yeah.
Mercury and Jupiter?
You're close.
Jupiter and Saturn.
No. That's what I said. I said Jupiter and Saturn live, but it's actually Mars and Jupiter.
Oh, Mars and not Jupiter. Mercury. I'm sorry. Mercury is the one closest to the sun.
Yeah. So I said that and I saw a couple of hands raise up. No, no.
Incorrect.
So I had to go back and rescore all of them. So
oops.
I'm just saying all this to you quizmasters out there. Even if you feel pretty confident out of your head, never hurts to second, you know, double check your questions. We also got a miscorrection from a while back that we haven't read yet. Hey guys, I'm David, huge fan. After over a year of screaming at my car stereo, thanks to you guys, I finally have a reason to write in. As a big fan of vocabulary myself, I was surprised to hear Mark refer to a group of geese as a gander on episode 55. A group of geese on the ground is called a gaggle, and in flight, they're referred to as a skein,
yeah,
or a wedge. I'm sure someone else caught this. I don't think so.
No.
And I'm also sure it was a minor slip of the tongue. Most definitely. So this is mostly just an excuse to write in and tell you guys how awesome I think you are and how much I love the podcast. Have a great week and keep up the good work. Mark, I guess you were thinking of the phrase, what's good for the goose
is good for the gander.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it like that, it would make sense. Like, what's good for one goose is good for every goose.
Right.
But I wonder what gander is then.
A gander is a male goose.
Oh, okay. So not a group.
I just looked it up.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if a goose is a female goose.
Like, treat that goose well, and it'll be good for the gander as well.
Yeah.
Or something.
And then we also, this isn't really a miscorrection.
It's like a half miscorrection, half rate my question.
Well, it's...
Right.
Are you talking about yours or mine?
Yours.
Oh.
It's rating. There's a rating going on. There's a grading.
There was a little... So, one of my best friends came to my defense.
We got a fiery email.
Tim,
mm-hmm,
my good friend,
yep,
wrote, "Homeboy, on your latest podcast episode, pulled a dirty trick with that whole natural disaster thing." He's talking about Adam last week asking a question regarding the biggest natural disaster. Here is the Oxford definition. A natural event such as a flood, earthquake, or hurricane that causes great damage or loss of life. It is universally known that the phrase refers specifically to extreme weather events and seismic or ocean activity. He had to use that phrase to keep his trivia question difficult enough to not give away the answer was a disease. But in my opinion, it just indicates that the question should be framed in a different way. Using the term natural disaster is deceiving and completely incorrect according to popular use. ! I call bullshit.
Well, there you have it.
Well, and that's how I feel.
I can understand that. You know, it's not, that's why I said this is kind of a rate my question, you know, because I think there's something to the fact that it could be workshopped a little bit.
Well,
and maybe rewritten, Spanish flu being the answer, if you can't remember, killed. 5% of humanity.
Yeah, and in all fairness to Adam, it mm-hmm. does say natural disaster in mm-hmm. the Wikipedia article.
Yeah.
Which, though is not a be-all, end-all, is definitely, you know, is definitely peer-reviewed and looked over.
Mm-hmm.
And if I saw something, you know, that said natural disaster, I'd be licking my chops too, going, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So this is on Wikipedia. It calls itself a natural disaster. Ooh.
Right.
You know, but so yeah.
Maybe take your beef up with Jimmy Wales, Tim. Send him a message too.
And, yeah.
Or just get on that Wikipedia page.
And just edit it. Become an editor.
Okay. Why don't you go first this time?
In French, what cooking term means to slice into thin strips, usually leafy greens? I like that I worded this question in a way that sounds like a Jeopardy question.
Mm-hmm. What is long strips, you said?
To slice into thin strips, usually leafy greens.
Leafy greens, thin strips. It's French, a French word?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of like the French cooking terms that I know. And my first thought was like, it's mandolin, but I believe a mandolin is a tool that you would use to slice vegetables, not necessarily even leafy greens, but like, you know, carrots, potatoes.
Looks like a little harp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a suspicion or a feeling, an inkling again, if you will, that the answer might be julienne. So I think that's what I'm going to go with. Is it julienne?
Julienne was a very popular answer, but it was incorrect.
Okay.
The correct answer is chiffonade.
Oh, okay.
Chiffonade.
I feel a little bit more comfortable because I've never heard that word before. So now I'm a big learner this time. Perfect. Chiffonade. Leafy vegetables in thin strips?
Into thin strips.
That sounds annoying to eat. Like lettuce spaghetti? What are we doing here? I want broad strips, not long and thin.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
Chiffonade.
Too bad Charity isn't here to answer because she's
Well, I don't know. I'm sure I'll watch a video on it later, and then that's all I'll be eating is green leafy chiffonade.
Chiffonade is amazing.
Yeah. All right. I actually have a culinary arts question for you, funny enough. Recognizing the three components of cooking as social, artistic, and technical, what food science discipline seeks to investigate the chemical and physical transformations that occur in ingredients while cooking? What's the name of the food science discipline that investigates the chemical and physical transformations that occur in the ingredients while cooking?
I was hoping you were going to say what, like, host or whatever, blah, 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 because I'd say Elton Brown.
Ah.
Because I know that he's very into this.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went with Skylar Denison to go see Elton Brown live, and he read one of my tweets on stage.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Yeah.
What a big old picture of me.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So funny. Because it was like, add a picture of you. So I made a picture of me with a really disgusted face. I'll try and find it so you can put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if this is a word I've heard before.
I feel like when I say it, you've heard. I think it's more common than chiffonade.
What food science
discipline?
Discipline.
Mm-hmm. So if you think of like how science names for different scientific disciplines are, it might give you a hint on the format of the word. The answer, you know.
Yeah, I guess I'm
like trouble. what's the study of space called?
Astrology?
No. Well, I mean that is a study of space, but that's like the study of like the zodiac and stars and
stuff astronomy. Like that. Mm-hmm. I always confuse
the real science, Mark. The real science.
The real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the science of, you know, astronomy is the science of the stars.
I'm going to say...
What's the science of this food where it goes down into the chemical and physical transformations?
I'm going to say gastrology.
Again, you're flipping it, but it's gastronomy. I like gastrology. Like, what the fuck did I eat last night? That's what we're going to call that, gastrology.
Why do I do this? I laughed so hard I made myself dizzy there for a second. God, I can't keep it straight.
That happens to me all the time, man. You know, you eat some rich food, and then you're trying to figure out what went wrong.
What did I do?
Gastrology.
What have I done to myself? Okay, here is your next question.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Swahili word Simba mean in English? Simba is a Swahili word. What does it mean in English? Maybe you've heard of The Lion King.
Oh.
Simba's the name of
right.
the runt. Grows up. Hakuna Matata.
Right.
He eats bugs.
Mm-hmm. Home is where your rump rests.
I've never seen the animated one, but I watched the live action one.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You've never seen the animated Lion King?
No.
The number one home video sales animated feature of all time?
That's correct. My home was not one of those video buying homes.
You know what's interesting about The Lion King is Disney did not expect it to be successful. And all of the star animators went over to Pocahontas to work on that movie so that the B team could be kept busy on this movie called The Lion King. And Pocahontas is kind of seen as like the last Disney Renaissance film, you know, and The Lion King is seen as like a pinnacle. I don't know about that. Actually, no. I think that's not true. I'm sorry. It's not seen as the last Disney Renaissance film, but The Lion King is definitely seen as the peak. And as you know, I mean, they've had a hit Broadway show based on it.
Yeah.
And it's become a really cultural touchstone here in America. Simba, though, in Swahili, Simba.
Don't go to the elephant place where the elephants die and bubbles. You'll get eaten.
Wait, you said you never saw it.
I saw the live action one.
Oh, wow. This is so strange because I haven't seen
you
that one.
You gotta understand, it came out in 1994.
Yeah.
I was 14.
Mm-hmm. That's a little.
I was jerking off.
Yeah.
Like, I was.
You were not interested in the Lion King playset like I was. Like, let me at that shit.
Yeah.
Let me at that Pride Rock playset.
How old were you?
94? Nine.
Oh, yeah. Prime age.
Simba, voiced first by Jonathan Taylor Thomas and then by Matthew Broderick. And then in the new movie, I don't even know, but you've seen it. So who voices Simba in the new?
I don't know who the young one is, but the old one is Childish Gambino.
Nice. That makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say Prince of the Sky. I don't know. I feel like I knew this at one point, and I'm going to go, oh, like I do.
It is not Prince of the Sky. The correct answer is Lion.
Oh. So, okay. The quintessential lion, Simba.
Yeah.
And everybody else just kind of revolves around him, I guess.
Yep.
Hmm. What's your name? Simba. What are you? Simba.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you have a good sense of human identity. We'll name him Boy.
My name is Human.
All right. Let's see here. I have a geography question for you now.
Great.
Which state capital means of the monks in French and was almost named Fort Raccoon?
First thing I thought of was Louisiana, but the capital of Louisiana is Baton Rouge, which means red baton or something. Red something.
That makes sense.
Red baton. Then I was trying to think of like French names. And the first one that came to mind was Montpellier. And Mont sounds close enough to monk. Actually, I guess it would be like mountain. Montpellier. Tallahassee is definitely Native American. Atlanta, no. I'm not going to break my fucking brains too bad about it. I'm going to say Montpellier.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is, the original name of the area was the Riviere des Moines, the River of the Monks. Des Moines, Iowa would be the answer there. So, yeah. Let's see here. I was trying to figure out what the Fort Raccoon thing, where that comes from.
All right, here's your last question in this round.
Okay.
The full title of Hamlet is Hamlet, or I'm sorry, is The Tragedy of Hamlet. Prince of blank. Where was he the prince of?
Wasn't he the prince of Denmark? That's my answer.
Yes.
You were going to let me myself out of it, were you?
Well, I didn't know if you were just like going to, if that was the beginning of your sussing.
No.
Because you were asking a question, but I could not answer you.
My intuition was so strong that I didn't want to suss away from that answer because I was like 99% certain.
I thought that you probably knew that one.
Hamlet, I mean, I'm not by no means like a huge Shakespeare fan, but I fucking love Hamlet. I think it was like the first time that I really got into it was actually the 1990s Mel Gibson movie. That like kind of contextualized it and made me actually want to read it. And yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting story about, you know, deception and intrigue, you know, who murdered who. It's kind of like it kind of primed me for Game of Thrones, you know.
One of our listeners, Zach, who is also a coworker of mine, who hates when I do impressions of him, so I will do one now, is always joyful to say, Lion King is my favorite version of Hamlet. Because Lion King is a retelling of Hamlet.
Oh, I like this. I like the double up you
did
there, too.
That's why I did that.
Oh,
I almost didn't ask it because I knew you were going to know it, but I had to tie it together.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that I knew that one, I guess. The Swahili one, I'll remember that. Simba means lion.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And I ain't lying.
My final question for you, I hope you get this right, because nobody got this right in my trivia. It is a question about Steely Dan. That was the requested category. Are you a Steely Dan fan?
You know what? I just watched a documentary about the recording of Asia.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan.
I feel
fan.
Like you're leaps and bounds ahead of most of the people that were at my trivia.
Yeah, but we'll see.
The band Steely Dan is known to name drop alcoholic beverages and mixed drinks in their songs. Name one of these drinks and the song that it comes from.
Oh,
is this too difficult? I mean, basically, my strategy would be try to think of a song that I know by them and go through the lyrics and see if you come across. Okay. Just to give you a heads up, there's 13 possible answers that I have right here.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't know their lyrics very well.
You could learn to become an alcoholic by listening to Steely Dan.
Yeah. Because you're listening to them.
Mm-hmm. Or, did the chicken come before the egg? Which came first? Was I an alcoholic before I listened to Steely Dan or after?
Yeah. I got a picture.
Okay, I can tell by what you're humming right now that would be Peg. Peg is not on my list here.
Okay.
So get off of Peg.
Okay. Sorry, Peg.
This is your big debut.
Oh, what about Reeling in the Years? Is that one of them?
That's not on here either.
Okay, Jesus.
Nope.
What about Ricky Don't Lose That Number?
Oh, I forgot that was them, but no, that's not on here either.
Reeling in the Years?
Reeling in the Years, they do not mention a beverage.
Yeah,
in that.
Those are like all the songs I do
you,
know.
You know some of these. Like, don't you know Haitian Divorce?
Nope.
Don't you know Deacon Blues?
See,
don't
I know,
you know
that's
Hey 19.
I know that Deacon Blues is on Asia, and I remember them talking about recording it.
Yeah,
but I don't know it very well.
I think Deacon Blues, if I remember correctly, isn't that the song that in the 80s, when the new hi-fi sound systems came out, that was like the popular demo song. Like, if you wanted to demo a really nice sound system, you would put on Deacon Blues by Steely Dan. And
I don't even remember how it goes. I know upon hearing it
sounds like a Steely
songs,
Dan song.
I know that when I was listening to it, I was like, oh yeah, okay.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so dad rock.
Yep. I'm transforming into a dad. So
I'll just say Deacon Blues and I'll say gin.
Gin. Well, actually that's one where it's not a mixed drink. It is just a single liqueur in Deacon Blues. They mentioned Scotch whiskey. In that
Scotch
song,
whiskey.
They talk about rum and cokes in the song "Daddy Don't Live in That New York City No More." Bad sneakers. They mention pina coladas, Haitian divorce. They talk about drinking zombies, black cows in the song "Black Cow." So they have a whole song about that.
Oh, that's another song from Asia.
We've got Retsina, grapefruit wine, cherry wine, Cuervo Gold. That's the one that's in Hey 19. Kirschwasser from Babylon Sisters. They talk about Tangeray in Lunch with Gina. A Cuban breeze is mentioned on Fagan's solo track, The Goodbye Look, and in Everything Must Go, they mentioned drinking margaritas. So very laid-back, chill band. Yeah, I guess you, I don't know, somebody requested Steely Dan, and I was, I mean, I guess I could ask, like, what is their album title? But I just thought this could be a fun question for a Steely Dan fan, but not too many of those these days.
Yeah, name two or three Steely Dan albums, I think, would have been a good one for me. Like, that I could have probably done.
All right, well, that's three for each of us, right?
Think so.
I appreciate your feedback on that question, and I'm going to ask you to rate another one when we come back and rate my question segment in round three. Okay, we're back.
Round three.
Yep, round three, a.k.a. final question round, a.k.a. round post two. The ultimate round, not the penultimate
two
round.
2B.
Yep. So we're going to kick things off first with a rate my question.
Rate my question.
All right, so I asked this question. Sometimes Pokemon is a requested category, and I feel like I might have come across an interesting Pokemon question template.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask it to you here. How would you say your Pokemon knowledge is?
Not good.
No? Okay. Well, this...
Not great.
I think it's... I'll just read it, and you can tell me what you think about it. The following text is the Pokédex entry for what Pokemon? So basically, there's so many Pokemon, you could replicate this same question over and over and over again with different...
Right.
You know, answers. The text that I used this week was, this Pokemon uses a mysterious power. When it does so, this Pokemon generates brainwaves that are supposedly only seen in sleepers. This discovery spurred controversy among scholars. So what Pokemon does that describe from the Pokedex?
Brainwaves among sleepers?
Yeah, so in individuals that are sleeping, the brainwaves are generated from... This Pokemon is a source. It's worded. So this is the Pokedex entry, which means it's been translated from Japanese into English. So it's worded a little.
When I think of sleeping in Pokemon, I'm going to guess the Snorlax.
Yes, that was a popular wrong answer. Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's why I was wondering about this question. So the answer, if I add the aquatic keyword to it, what aquatic Pokemon does that help? Or would you still think Snorlax?
I would not think Snorlax because I would know that Snorlax is not in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still not know the answer. I would say I can't remember the name of any ocean aquatic.
Generates brain waves that are supposedly only seen in sleepers.
Mm-mm.
Okay, the answer is Psyduck.
Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think about that question?
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you got people that are interested in Pokemon, I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's an easy way to write a Pokemon question that doesn't have you have to consider, is this a popular moment in the storyline? You know, you can just kind of pick a popular Pokemon, look at the Pokedex entry. So thought that might be helpful for some quiz masters.
Yeah, I would not ask that at Gather.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask that somewhere where you might have a younger crowd.
Right. I asked it at the Palace, and one out of seven teams got it right. And the other six wrote down Snorlax. So that's what I'm thinking. Adding Aquatic in there, I think, could help maybe one or two more teams get it.
Yeah.
You know, it was 4 points, so I had that at intermediate level difficulty. What do you think about that? Should that be harder or easier?
If you had Aquatic, I'd say it's probably a good, like, B+
right
in
on.
Difficulty.
Well, thanks for workshopping that with me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's do our final questions of the episode here.
Sounds good.
Okay, so my final question for you, nursing was the category.
Like
and
breastfeeding?
No, the profession, not the act.
Okay.
I said, so like the non-nutritional kind, and they were like, well, sometimes there's nutrition involved. but in nurse lingo, what does the acronym CTD stand for?
I've never heard this before. In nursing, what does CTD stand for? Catheter tube dick.
Stop trying to write episode titles right now.
I mean, I don't
answer know. The question.
I have no idea.
Catheter tube dick.
Yeah, he's got a case of CTD, guys. Watch out. He doesn't have to get rid of the bathroom. He's got CTD. He's got catheter tube dick. I honestly don't know. I'm trying to think of like stuff, you know, when you're in the hospital, stuff they write up on the board to let people know that you can't eat or whatever. I'm going to say that they can't drink.
Okay. CTD. Can't take drink.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
No, that's not right, sadly. I wonder if we could call Doug right now and see if he knows.
Maybe he probably does. He's a nurse.
I wonder if he's awake. Does he have?
He's probably at work.
I don't have his number.
I do. Here, I'll call him.
Call him up, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I need your help with a trivia question. You're on the No Nonsense podcast. In nursing, what does CTD stand for?
CTD.
Do you know that?
Well, what's the is it CTB?
A D as in dog.
Wow, I thought he would get this.
I know, I thought I would get it too. CTB.
D as in dog. Are you saying B or D?
I thought you said T as in time.
Yeah, CT and then D as in dog.
Oh, CETD?
CTD.
CTD. Oh, God, I don't know.
Is Marion around?
Is Marion around?
She's sleeping.
She's sleeping.
Wake her up.
Wake her up. She's on the podcast.
Oh, my God. CTD.
Yes.
Marion. What is CTD for? Clean, dry, and packed? No, just not that. I don't know. It's a...
Wow. Okay, so the answer that I got off the internet, and somebody actually told me this once before, so I was like, oh, this is definitely a thing, because now I'm verifying it online, this anecdote that I have, stands for circling the drain, or certain to die.
Oh, see, I was thinking, that's not exactly a nursing term. I thought you were talking about like a scientific, you know, abbreviation.
Yeah, it's lingo. Mm. Nursing lingo is what we would call it.
So, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Sorry to put you on the spot, buddy.
Hey, it's all good. Hope you guys have a good one.
All right, you too, man. Circling the drain.
Circling the drain, yes.
Wow.
Certain to die.
Okay.
So, we'll just have to...
That's heavy.
Yeah, but it's another one that I found is... the mortuary in the United Kingdom, nurses say, oh, the patient has gone to the Rose Cottage when they go to the mortuary. That's the term that they have, which is a very lovely, pleasant way of describing it. And in America, it's circling the drain. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So one more for me.
Now, my last question for you. On June 25th, 1993, Kim Campbell became the first female prime minister of which country?
1993?
Yep.
Kim Campbell?
Kim Campbell.
First female prime minister.
Of what country?
Hmm. Kim Campbell.
Kimmy Cams.
Kim Cams. I've got I'm building my multiple choice in my head right now. And I've got four guesses.
I felt you were going to say three a second ago.
I was, and then a fourth popped in.
Boom.
So two of them, one is Ireland and the other is Scotland. And then the other two are Australia and New Zealand. Now I know that Australia recently had a lady prime minister, and I'm not sure that she's the first. But now that I think about it, And New Zealand, I think, is pretty progressively minded, so I can see them having a lady prime minister earlier anyway. Kim Campbell. Campbell. Is that a Kiwi name? Are the Kiwis, are those the indigenous people of New Zealand, or are they all Kiwis?
I think they're all Kiwis.
Okay.
But I could be
wrong. Hope I'm not. Yeah. Appropriating somebody's culture for somebody else, like some kind of culture appropriation middleman. I'm going to go with New Zealand. That's where I'm landing.
The correct answer is a little bit closer to home.
Oh.
The correct answer is Canada.
Very close to
1993,
home.
1993, Kim Campbell.
Okay.
Kim the Canada Campbell.
1993, I thought they would have done that by now, but I would say the same thing about America, so.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, well, Mark, thanks for hanging out and recording one of these no-nos with me.
Lee, thanks for having me.
Yeah, time. Absolutely. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Once again, my name is Quizmaster Lee. You can check out No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at 7 p.m. at Palace Pub and Wine Bar in Cape Coral. Tuesdays at Gather for Ladies Night Trivia in Cape Coral. That one also starts at 7 p.m. Wednesdays, we're at Bury Me Brewing Company in Fort Myers, again at 7 p.m. You can catch Mark Davis hosting Trivia Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesdays at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Then each and every Thursday evening, we're at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show is starting at 7:30.
Wanted to go out last night, but I realized at like 8:30.
Oh, I was all like, on it already. Yeah. A little late. Yeah, we get started a little earlier than you.
I forgot.
But, you know, you got the late night crowd at Nice Guys at 9. I appreciate that. I think that's cool. I think it's real cool that you do trivia so late, Mark.
It's really cool.
Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You can also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. We love 5-star reviews, especially.
Yummy.
You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. Thank you, by the way, to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Thanks, as always, to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud and Tim from San Diego, a member of the trivia team going by Pat's Garden Service. Thanks also to
Electric Mud going on tour soon.
Yeah, see him in a town near you.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to have them on beforehand. I don't know if we're going to get them or not. But.
Three words, the Electric Mud 1D. Mm-hmm. You can go on Facebook and find out they'll be going over most of the country. So if you listen abroad, please make sure to look out. And if you're into stoner rock / southern rock, I'd say you should, give them a listen.
Yeah, they're supporting their new album, Burn the Ships.
Yes.
So check that out. Thanks also to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Dylan. Oh, come in. Hold on. I'm warming up. Dylan, Justin, Cooper, Elise, Aaron, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Big thanks also to our Rumble Snellskins. We've got two new ones. We've got Manu and Jeff.
Is that Manu Ginobili?
I don't have the last name here, but
it's probably maybe. Not because he's a famous basketball player and he probably gets that a lot. But Manu, thank you. Jeffrey, thank you.
Yeah, I don't have their last names here in front of me, but thanks to them, both of them, for their support, as well as thanks to Efren, Steven, Michael C., and Michael J., our classic Rumble Snailskin crew there. If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or a Miscorrection.
Or rate us with a Write My Question.
Just like Tim did, basically.
Yeah.
Write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, and please give us a follow on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. At No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We also have a Facebook group you can join as well to chat with other listeners as well as ourselves. Just search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on that. And finally, once again, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast
Guys,
service.
What the fuck is your problem? Fuck off at this point.
Just do it right
just
now.
Just fucking log we'll in wait. And do it.
We're just going to wait
okay,
right now.
We'll just do it right now.
You are going to your favorite podcast platform right now, aren't you?
I hope you are. I hope you put apple.com/ podcast/no-nonsense-trivia/5 stars.
We don't know exactly how it works because it would be unethical for us to leave a review for our own thing.
What are you kidding me?
Yeah, I can't
do it. We're the host. Stupid.
So you have to do it. You have to leave us that review. Please.
Kylie Ann, have you reviewed us?
She has.
We've been through this.
She was an early review.
And I will. And I'll do that.
She's into that conditional love.
Absolutely.
Please rate us conditionally. I mean, we do work hard, so we expect to earn that 5 stars. Indeed. So send a review our way. And thanks, as always, for listening. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week.